This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, March 18, 2026. I'm Joe Balecki with your local news. Three finalists have been selected to replace the retiring Grand Rapids City Attorney. WGVU's Dee Morrison shares a profile of each candidate.
Matthew Cross is a municipal law attorney representing cities, counties, and public agencies with more than a decade of experience in state and federal courts. Cross has worked in local fire service and on legal and nonprofit boards. Sarah Hartman is currently Grand Rapids Director of Legal Affairs, managing litigation involving the city and overseeing in-house and outside counsel. Hartman previously served as Assistant City Attorney and has a background in private practice civil litigation, labor employment, and municipal law. She also serves on the State Bar's Character and Fitness Committee. Philip Strom is the interim city attorney for Grand Rapids and was previously deputy city attorney, as well as Delta County Administrator and Chief Financial Officer, and was elected prosecuting attorney. Strom is active in professional and community organizations, including as president-elect of the Grand Rapids Bar Association. Community members can submit questions online for the candidates to answer at a town hall-style public forum March 30th. City commissioners will conduct interviews March 31st and hold a public deliberation session April 1st. I'm Dee Morrison.
If you live in Ottawa County, the developers of a proposed 200-megawatt solar project want to hear what you think. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The proposed $300 million Silver Maple Solar Farm project from Germany-based energy company RWE would cover up to 1,900 acres in Zeeland and Jamestown townships, powering more than 34,000 homes. The land is located south of I-196 near the Ottawa Executive Airport on Byron Road.
Right now it's in the permitting phase, but looking at moving into construction in early 2027 and in commercial operation in 2028.
Joseph Brochu is Silver Maple Solar's development manager. He says the area was chosen because of flat, buildable land, willing landowners, and
power lines. So there's a 345 kV power line that goes down through the middle of the project that has capacity for the power that we would generate.
But some residents are speaking out against the project, citing concerns over the loss of farmland, possible environmental impacts, and aesthetic concerns.
That's why we have these public meetings is to take those inputs. You know, we anticipate over $31 million of tax revenue from this project, supporting local schools and infrastructure. It's a good source of income for our landowners, and it generates power, which is a common need.
The project would also create more than 250 temporary construction jobs. I'm David Limbaugh.
Even though police unleashed a dog to attack and control Daquan Johnson last month, they say Johnson was still able to pull a handgun before he was shot and killed by police. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports the city is now investigating the effectiveness of canine officers.
We will do an analysis of our pursuit policies, specifically the use of canines.
As part of an overall review of incidents in the past 5 years that ended with police officers shooting suspects, Grand Rapids City Manager Mark Washington will compare the GRPD's use of canines to other law enforcement jurisdictions.
To see what are the best practices of the other jurisdictions, to see our policies are similar or different.
Body and dash cam recordings show a GRPD canine knock down and bite Daquan Johnson last month before he was shot and killed by an officer who says he pulled a handgun. Mayor David LeGrand reacted to video of the canine attack at a community forum.
If my dog did what I saw in that video, I'd put my dog down. It is time that we ask, what are dogs good for? If you need to chase somebody in a backyard, why couldn't you do that with a drone?
Because he says it is still under investigation by the state police, Washington says his review of officer-involved shootings and canine deployment won't include the Daquan Johnson incident. His mother, Angelica Johnson, says she has unanswered questions.
I feel I deserve more than what I'm getting.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Pine Rest Christian Mental Health Services opened the state's first of its kind pediatric center for behavioral health in Grand Rapids on Wednesday. WGVU's Dee Morrison was there.
The new center expands specialized mental health access for children and teens across the state. With 66 inpatient beds, an eating disorders partial hospitalization program, and the state's first pediatric psychiatric urgent care center, providing same-day assessments and short-term stabilization for children experiencing acute behavioral health crises.
To us, this project is not just some abstract new business unit in the Michigan healthcare ecosystem. It's the expression of love. It's our way of saying, let the children come. and be healed.
Dr. Mark Eastberg, president and CEO of Pine Rest, noted the partnerships between public servants, philanthropists, legislators, and healthcare partners like Helen DeVos Children's Hospital. Governor Gretchen Whitmer spoke at the grand opening, highlighting over $50 million in bipartisan state funding for the project.
We'll connect young people who are struggling with eating disorders, substance abuse, anxiety, depression, and more with the personalized, evidence-based treatment that they need.
Community members can tour the facility at an open house on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2. I'm Dee Morrison.
Three West Michigan communities will benefit from state freshwater coastline funding. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
10 Michigan counties are splitting more than $855,000 in Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy grants. In West Michigan, the Ottawa County Parks and Recreation Commission is receiving $50,000 to improve public access and protect wetlands habitat within the Rosie Mount Natural Area. In Allegan County, the city of Saugatuck is receiving $20,000 to create conceptual plans to improve public safety and public access to Oval Beach. And in Van Buren County, the city of South Haven is receiving $17,500 to update the city's zoning ordinance to address coastal erosion with shoreline protection strategies. The money is from the 2026 Michigan Coastal Management Program, established in 1978, supporting coastal communities, nonprofits, and tribal nations to protect, preserve, restore, enhance, and develop coastal resources along the nation's longest freshwater coastline. It awards grants annually to coastal communities addressing unpredictable Great Lakes water levels due to increased storm intensities and frequency as a result of climate change. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, another edition of our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, but first, news from around the state. Striking Flint area nurses brought their fight to the steps of the state capitol on Tuesday as they near 200 days on the picket line. Colin Jackson has more.
The Henry Ford Genesis Hospital nurses are asking for better nurse-to-patient ratios, a guarantee that nurses will be able to get their old jobs back after the strike, and higher pay. Shirley Schinnevarger has been nursing in various departments for more than 15 years. She says the strike has been tough for herself and others, affecting her ability to get medicine.
I have to pick and choose which ones I can get. I don't have insurance. I've had to put some bills on hold because now that we've pushed this 6-month mark, you know, we were able to maintain it. And now, you know, it's getting down to the wire, and I'm not about to cross back, and I'm not about to give up.
Henry Ford Health says it is offering higher pay, guaranteed jobs for strikers, and the same staffing ratios as previous contracts. But the striking nurses say those staffing ratios weren't being enforced. I'm Colin Jackson.
State House Speaker Matt Hall says he would like to see an amendment to the Michigan Constitution that requires supermajority votes for lawmakers to adopt bills after legislative elections. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The Republican leader says too often lawmakers sit on tough and controversial decisions until the lame duck session that falls after an election and before a new legislature is sworn in.
And then after the election, they try to move the bulk of legislation when they're furthest away from the voters having a say.
Hall says a lame duck supermajority rule would require legislation that moves after elections to have strong bipartisan consensus. Amending the state constitution would itself require supermajority votes in the House and the Senate to put a question on the ballot for voters to approve or reject. There is a resolution to do that pending on the House floor. I'm Rick Pluta in Lansing.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. This afternoon in our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, WGVU's Patrick Center talks with Crane's staff writer Mark Sanchez about Priority Health HMO losing money. Downtown Grand Rapids businesses are preparing for Acrisure Amphitheater's grand opening, but first, a major Southwest Michigan company is the victim of an Iranian cyber attack.
This is now a regular part of warfare in here in West Michigan. We saw it hard last week with Stryker Corporation down in Kalamazoo. This is the global medical device, orthopedic implant, healthcare technology, equipment company, 56,000 employees worldwide. And Wednesday last week, it was paralyzed. It was the victim of a cyber attack believed to be by this group out of Iran that targeted Stryker. It really hit the company hard. It's posting updates each day on its website and how it's recovering, how it's investigating what exactly happened, how it happened, and they're sharing customers and clients that their connected equipment was not affected and it's recovering. But one of the stories we did out of this situation last week was talking to some folks, and particularly a professor over at Eastern Michigan University in Ypsilanti that's really an expert in cybersecurity and information security. And he said, here's his quote, "I almost say cyber is the new Cold War. We're in a state of conflict with a nation, and that is now considered to be a legitimate attack tool." Remember 20 plus years ago, we had folks saying the next wars or future wars are going to be bought in cyberspace. And here it is. This was an organization believed to be, at least believed to be behind the attack. They claimed responsibility out of Iran that attacked a large American corporation and basically shut it down. So this is something that's just a reminder for all businesses, as well as all individuals, consumers, you know, to always protect yourself. And for companies big and small, and there's always this thought that small businesses, you're not worth attacking. Well, yeah, you are, especially if it's a ransomware attack where then you get your data encrypted and you need to pay to get it released if you can't get it fixed. But also large corporations are targeted too now. Follow the basics. Constant training, constant updating your patches, your security patches that come down from your software companies. Let employees know if you don't recognize that link, don't click on it in the email. And there's just a lot of things to do to protect yourself, but this is a situation that really reaffirms you need to be vigilant at all times because there are bad actors out there that are looking to get into your system and cause you a lot of problems.
But for major companies like Stryker, this disrupts supply chain. They're also a supplier of medical hardware and products. It's not just the company being attacked. It impacts the periphery.
Yeah, and the tentacles go deep. We checked in with a number of the health systems and hospitals around the state last week and said not seeing any impact at that point in time. But yeah, there's that supply chain there. You're providing that equipment, those supplies for surgical procedures. So basically, bottom line, wasn't, as of late last week, not any impact there yet, and the folks weren't anticipating, although they were clearly paying close attention to the situation. And this is an issue we've reported on over the years where you've got an OEM manufacturer, or in this case, a very large manufacturer. When they contract with the supplier, they're doing that due diligence and those audits down the supply chain of how well is your IT system protected? What's your response? What's your plan? They're doing that due diligence on how well is all this data protected, because if a bad actor gets into your system, then they can get into our system. It's a big issue for all businesses of all sizes out there these days, is protecting data, protecting your systems, and then having that plan in place on how you respond if you do get attacked and you are victimized by an attack.
We're talking with Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer, Mark Sanchez. We are less than 2 months away from Acrisure Amphitheater opening its doors for its first performance, and you're beginning to see downtown businesses prep for this, taking advantage of that foot traffic.
Sure. I mean, you're talking a 12,000-seat amphitheater that's going to open May 15th. Lionel Richie is the opening act. You know, we've seen so many times where stadiums, arenas, venues are built in cities, especially core cities. We saw this with Van Andel Arena 30 years ago, and that generated a lot of spin-out peripheral investment in that neighborhood on the south side of downtown. Now there's anticipation that the amphitheater could create more investment. So this is a story my coworker Kate Carlson did the other day about that Hartside downtown districts, and they're anticipating that influx of foot traffic, and that's going to be a welcome boon for business. So how are they positioning themselves? You've got an event there on a weekday or Saturday evening, Friday evening, you've got thousands of people that are coming to that venue. They're going to be in the neighborhood before the event. They're going to be in the neighborhood after the event. How do you take advantage of that? So you're seeing the businesses and the organizations down in those neighborhoods beginning to just think out and prepare for this influx of visitors. They're going to go to the Acrisure Amphitheater and how to leverage that, making sure they have a good night out, but also this is business. Just as an example, we see Studio C, that's the parent company for Celebration Cinema and Studio Park there on the south side of downtown. They're targeting that pre-concert crowd at their open-air piano. Piazza. That's just three blocks away from the amphitheater. You know, and the Piazza has manicured public spaces in the middle of Studio Park that's surrounded by the cinema, the storefronts, restaurants, and they're anticipating this. You're also seeing some of those residential complexes beginning to use this. Hey, we're nearby this amphitheater, and that's a selling point for marketing some of those apartments and condos that we've seen go up on the south side of downtown over the years. There's anticipated significant economic impact from this. The amphitheater is expected to generate an average of almost $27 million in new economic spinoff across Kent County annually. That came from a research study commissioned by Grand Action 2.0 that's behind the project. So again, the folks in the neighborhood are getting ready for the opening come May, and kind of that benefit to their business that they expect to come.
So from making money to some health insurers losing money. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Blue Cross having its issues, and now you're reporting Priority Health HMO is also losing money. It seems to be the surging cost of pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, not only the cost of the prescription drugs and specialty drugs, the GLP-1s, but also rising higher utilization rates. We're an aging population. We use more care. So first, the numbers. Overall, Priority Health made money last year, about a $35 million operating income. That's on $8.1 billion in revenue. I'll let everybody else do the math, but that is a small operating margin. But its key core product, the HMO, that covers a whole bunch of folks around the state, mostly small businesses. The HMO for Priority Health had an underwriting loss last year. That's basically paid out more in medical claims than it took in premium revenue. So that was a loss there. And how do you make that up? It's all made up in rates. So the question goes out, how is this underwriting loss for the HMO that has more than 700,000 members, how may that affect rates? We won't know for a couple of months. Those rate plans for next year get filed in May for the small group market. That's the market of 50 employees and less. Bottom line, these high costs, the drug costs, the prescription drugs, the specialty pharmaceuticals, and higher utilization rates, more people seeking more care. That's affecting the health insurer's operating performance. And ultimately, that affects the rates that all employers and people pay for their health coverage. And one interesting aspect that we talked about when I talked to the CFO there the other day, Celeste McIntyre, is they're seeing something interesting in their paying their medical claims, which is more cancer cases, serious illnesses that are more acute when they're diagnosed. Remember 3-4 years ago or longer, 2021, 2022, we were hearing a lot from the health systems about after the shutdowns, people were delaying care. They weren't going to the doctor because of COVID and their concerns. So they were maybe deferring care. They weren't going in for their colonoscopy. They weren't going in to have their mammography. They weren't going in for these health screenings. So here we are a few, 3, 4, 5 years later, people are showing up with conditions that are worse, that they didn't get detected earlier, that the tumor is a little more advanced. That's a higher acuity case. That means more costs. And also, part of what's driving these claims higher is so much more today than years ago is treatable through pharmaceuticals. Instead of a procedure, instead of XYZ, we can treat this condition with a medication. So that's contributing to these rising pharmaceutical costs, because some of these drugs, that they do great things, but they're very expensive. So bottom line, for employers, these high increases in your insurance premiums the last few years, we'll find out in a couple of months on whether that's going to continue into next year. And chances are they probably will.
Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, March 18, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Buehrling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.